Have you ever asked yourself, why do I worship? For these next weeks, we're going to explore three dimensions of that question from a Presbyterian perspective, since that is what I am. And I invite you to ponder it for yourself as well. The maintenance of divine worship is one of the great ends of the church, according to the Presbyterian polity. And in the weeks to come, we'll be exploring these various great ends as they relate directly to the ministry and mission that we find ourselves in here at Providence Presbyterian Church, and where God is calling us to move forward in faith. As we continue the journey this day into this text, will you pray with me? Pour forth your Spirit, O God, that the words we speak and ponder may be an acceptable offering to you, our rock and our Redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. In order to explore this question, this different WWW, not World Wide Web, but why we worship, we could have chosen many, many passages of Scripture, many examples of God's people turning to God in praise, in thanksgiving, in need, and in hope. In Exodus, between chapters 3 and 10, a book of the Bible that kept coming up again and again in my sabbatical reading, and I'm still exploring why that is true. I wish I'd attended some of Russ's Bible study before. In Exodus, between chapters 3 and 10, God repeatedly says to Moses, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go, that they may worship me, that they may worship me." Worship and liberation are inextricably linked. It is an amazing gift to be able to worship together in that spirit. A call from God, even it is, as seen in this Exodus story. On the last Sunday before my sabbatical ended in my tour of various churches for those 8 weeks, I heard the story of Hannah preached at the church where I worshiped. I'd never thought of the story of Hannah as being so linked to the practice of worship, but as I prepared for this series, that came to me again and again. For in Hannah, we see a life centered and lived in worship, in good and bad times, to the glory of God, in sacrifice and offering. Continually, she came to the temple to seek God first, to listen where God would lead her. Hannah knew worship. We read in our text that she presented herself before the Lord in the temple. She prayed and she wept, bringing all of her life to the Lord, honestly seeking and reaching for God's guidance in that life, again and again, with people and by herself, even in the confusion of those who worshiped alongside her, not knowing what she was all about. She listens for God. And she makes a vow of faith to God, realizing all that she is and has is a gift from God, even to the point of offering her only and long-awaited son to serve in the temple. She would see him only once a year in those visits. All that she has, she offers up to the Lord in worship. And worship has that kind of power for us, if we too may stop and listen, wait and hear where God is at work. There are very few places in our busy lives when we take time like this, this hour of worship, to stop and listen, to ask the question, where is God? And what is God speaking to me now? In worship, we may realize how gifted we truly are, and it brings a joy to our lives that the world can never give and the world can never take away. Rick Taylor asked me this morning if this was going to be my reflections on my trip to Zambia. That will be coming later down the road, and there will probably be stories that come in the midst of that in these weeks to come as I share in sermons. but I'm looking to probably do that in September. One story I want to tell this morning is the story of Pastor Naomi. Pastor Naomi is in her mid-20s and the only female in the second graduating class of the Chisefu Theological College in Zambia. In my travels earlier this summer, I had the chance to meet her. I had seen her on the video that we are using to raise funds to support that capital project, but I had the chance to meet her and talk with her. She was excited that day that we met because her church was going to be celebrating her induction as pastor. She'd been there for a few months. They use the word induction rather than installation. I think induction makes it sound less like you're putting a refrigerator into place in a church. We learn many, many things from one another when we travel. This induction was to happen the Sunday after we met, and she was really excited. She was thrilled because later that week, her church members were all going to come together on Wednesday to pour concrete over half of the sanctuary so that they would no longer have a dirt floor, but they would have a concrete floor for half of the sanctuary. She was very, very excited. Over the past few months that she has been on the job, they have built the church to the roof level, and it has been covered with roof through the generosity of the synod paying for that. She loves being a pastor. I asked her what had prompted her to become a pastor, which was not a very typical vocation in Zambia at that time. And she said to me, "I've always been drawn to worship. I worked my way up in the church as a child, as a youth, in the women's ministry." And she said, "I want to lead people in praising God and to better their lives in the world." Those of you who have weathered the journeys of the teen years or as parents know that it is a time when many things have a way of getting turned upside down and questioned. The question why that we encounter in our children when they're 2 and 3 years old takes on a deeper meaning than that 2 to 3 year old phase as the youth move toward adulthood and start thinking about what are going to be the foundations of my life as I move forward. Questions of faith are not exempt from that for many of them. I've had quite a few of those conversations, or should I maybe say negotiations, with my teens over this past year. Worship, it seems to me, and in talking that through with my teens, seems to me that it is one of the few formal times that we have in the week, whether we are youth or adult, where we have the opportunity to step outside of our world for just a moment, to step outside of ourselves, our families, our individual concerns, to point our heads in the direction of God and what God is doing in life. To look beyond the powering of our own lives, to acknowledge that God is beyond us, to praise that we are not alone in the journey, to reach for new insights and focus, to be thankful for the coincidences and blessings of life that have come maybe unexpectedly in that week, a time to reach for silence and space, for new insight, energy, and direction to come. Worship can be a time when we discover the God promptings deep inside of ourselves and remember and see, maybe for perhaps more clearly, how God is already at work in and through us and in the people around us, and how God is calling us to live out that faith with God at the center. The great end of divine worship is clear. It's not about us. Worship is about God, because God, as Andrew said to the children this morning, God is worth it. This is the sovereignty of God that Presbyterian theology talks about. Worship allows us a time to stop, to pay attention, As one friend reminded me, we begin to realize, perhaps for the first time, that there is a God, and we are not it. So worship is not about us, but in pointing us to the one who is the source of all life, mission in the world, and hope. It's called the maintenance of divine worship, that great end of the church, for a reason. It's about God. Let's face it, in our culture increasingly this year, these days, it's an out-of-the-ordinary thing to gather with people so varied and different from our day-to-day lives, to sing songs that we may not really know, to allow others to bring prayer concerns of their lives, to listen to a preacher talk about the witness of faith through scripture from 2,000 or longer years ago. It is against our culture to think that there is a force outside of ourselves at work. For after all, we are called to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, to make our own success, rugged individualism and all that. Worship is a focus on God that takes us out of ourselves to a freedom in Christ that is beyond all earthly knowing. Music plays a big part in that and speaks to the heart and souls in ways sometimes that words cannot reach. Many times words cannot reach. And I think maybe violins have a special way of reaching that all of their own. One of the first offerings of music to come our way at this church in my 10 years outside of the gifts of the chancel choir was the gift of violins in worship when the Bays just happened to mention in my visit to them as they were considering membership that they played the violin and that if we wanted, they might play it sometime in worship. That opened the door to more and more sharing of gifts of music in this congregation over these years. So much so that even when people visit, we can draft them into playing music and singing along with us. Not a performance, but an offering to God. Worship evokes that spirit of gratitude in us, and those unexpected blessings of life. It calls it forth and expands our horizons. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Enter with thanksgiving and praise. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations, no matter what may come." In worship, we not only pray and praise, but are taught, challenged, cared for, and sent out. And that is how worship was described in the description for the Institute of Worship that our organist and choir director, Elena, attended this summer, in which she shared with our worship committee in part on Thursday. In the next weeks to come here in this sanctuary, we will be talking about that connection of worship to mission and to hope. Our church survey in this interim time said that our worship together is one of highest importance in our church's life, one of our most important values. So I challenge you to think about it. Why do you worship? Why is that so? Drop me a note. I promise you won't become a sermon illustration. But let us continue to reflect and grow in our understanding and practice of what it means to worship God in praise, in thanksgiving, in lives brought honestly forth to God in this hour and from this place. Amen.